Motherfucker, can you buy that?
What's up, everybody? This episode is definitely going to be brought to you by Jay's Evolution Premium Hemp Company. As always, you can definitely go and check the review we're going to do out later on the podcast. But right now, if you definitely need the premium hemp and premium CBD for your back pain or illnesses or headaches or anything you got going on right now, definitely check them out in Memphis, Tennessee. The phone number you can check them out at is 615-618-5570. And you can check them out at www.jadedhemp.com. And you can send them an email at info@jadedhemp.com. So, like I said, get all of your premium hemp company quality products from Jade Evolution. Alright?
My level spray, squeeze off till I'm empty. Don't tempt me, only to hell I could be.
What's up, everybody? I've got Matt Bowers here with me today. What's up, man? So, man, we're going to be definitely talking to you guys, obviously, about the coolness that is comics and the amazingness that is everything comics today. So, first thing, definitely going to talk to you about your comic. And Memphis, man.
Yeah, so I'm working hard on issue 3 right now, which is actually the 4th issue. Hopefully that will be completed, I don't know, I'm hoping by end of summer, maybe earlier if possible. Yeah. But, you know, doing everything takes a lot of time, you know. Yeah. And I had a color flatter that was going to do the color flats for me, and he bowed out, so I'm now doing that too, so that's taking some time because the next issue is going to be full color.
Okay.
So, but it's going really well so far. And I'm going to be teaming up with the people at Spill It, which is a cool sort of a spoken word type of event that happens near Crosstown. Though they're moving around now, but used to happen in America near Crosstown. And it's just really cool. It's like people get up, tell their stories, and make you laugh, make you cry. So I got, I love it. And so I've got in the story, my characters go to Spill It, and then shit gets crazy and goes nuts. And so we have some cameos from some of those people that are the regulars and stuff. And so that should be fun. And but currently, you can buy issues 1 and 2 in the Memphis Special Comixology.
Nice.
Just go there any time of the day and get them.
Yeah.
Download to your phone, your tablet, your laptop, whatever, and read it and have fun. But physically, Bad Dog Comics, which is associated with 901 Comics in Midtown, they are going to be publishing the books physically,
nice.
Starting with number one and moving forward. And hopefully number one is going to be out in April.
Okay.
But I'm not 100% sure on a release date, but that's being worked on right now. So.
Okay. Nice, definitely. April's definitely going to be a big month, definitely, in the comic world and in Memphis, basically, you know what I mean, too. Yeah. So, definitely look forward to getting that physical copy, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm a big, huge physical copy fan. I have Comixology on my phone and on my tablet, actually, which is not a plug to Comixology, but it is a plug to Comixology at the same time, because we love comics.
Yeah, I love Comixology, but, you know, if you don't like them, that's cool, too, but, you know, but I'm very aware a lot of comics fans don't like digital, and that's cool, you know, it's your thing, you want an old-fashioned physical comic, man, you want to hold it in your hand and all that, and that's cool, so finally that's going to be happening with Memphis, so
nice. I'm excited. I like both, I like physical and digital, because digital, you know, I can sneak in the bathroom at work and read a few comics.
I like digital because, you know, I get up Wednesday morning before work and I can look at new comics and maybe buy one or two and download them and take them and read them on my lunch break
instead
of having to wait till after work. Right. And so that's why I love it, partly. I mean, I love how colors will pop on a tablet.
Yeah.
And I'd recommend reading on a tablet versus your, don't read on your phone. But even a laptop is like a nice large tablet can mimic an actual comic book. And it's just great. You can zoom in, which is really awesome if you like the artwork and comics. You can really get a better idea of what really is happening in each panel.
Nice.
So that's my thing with digital. I love it. And that's how I read my comics. But I would never want to like force other people to do that, you know? But so like, moving forward, the physical books will be published by Bad Dog Comics, and then I will continue to publish under Jack Bollock's Comics on Comixology. And I'm probably going to start releasing them digitally on other platforms too soon.
Okay, it's cool.
Got a lot of time to do that.
All right, definitely, man. Definitely going to be big stuff for the comics in the future, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I got a lot of cool stories that I can't wait to get to.
And it's definitely cool too. Like you said, you're adding actual pieces of Memphis in that.
Yeah, every issue is going to have actual Memphis stuff in it.
Yeah,
that's one of my goals. So, and it does. It is partly why it takes so long to produce these at each issue. But you know, besides having a full time day job and I do freelance work and you know have a family and all that. But trying to use real backgrounds as a reference and. You know, just even like, okay, so the story about Spillet, you know, like I didn't just sort of like, okay, it's going to be at Spillet and then I'll just make up backgrounds.
Right.
I had to figure out, like, choreograph where the story started at Spillet and where does it end up. And I went to Crosstown and we mapped it out. Me and Kristen mapped it out, my wife. We mapped out where China would be fighting this character and where they would end up. Like, you know, and so like I did my homework and it takes some time, but I think it pays off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So,
especially if you live in Memphis. You're going to go, oh, my God, I recognize that building. Or, I recognize that graffiti. Like,
you get a lot of, what is it, a lot of comics nowadays, too, that have a lot of, like you said, realism. Because they have, like, a lot of places that the average reader, that could be like, oh, okay, well, like, I recognize this place. Like, kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? You could kind of, relate. You can relate the issue or the place or where it's at. And so that's really cool because I can't think of any comic anyway that has been at least once to Memphis.
Well, exactly. But it's like if you think about it, almost everybody on this planet has heard of Memphis.
Yeah.
There are more songs written that about Memphis or that reference Memphis than any other city on the planet.
Yeah.
And I live here. It's my hometown. I love it. And even when I lived in Florida, I never got over Memphis. And people go, why? I'm like, what? I don't even know why, but whatever. There's something about the city that I love. So that's why I was like, I'm going to set my book in Memphis. And then it was like, well, you know, I should do more than that. I don't want to do generic backgrounds like most comic book artists do. And, it's, you know, they do that because it's a time-saving thing.
Right.
And I wanted to go to that extra step, that extra mile. At least because then I can be proud of it. I can, you know, like whether people appreciate it or not, I don't know, but. And it's not going to be every single background. There's no time for that. But it's just overall, you're going to see stuff in the backgrounds that you know you'll recognize if you're from Memphis. You know?
Right. All right. Well, definitely speaking on that too. Would you ever have any characters? I guess you say or updating characters, new characters coming through that have like a Memphis. Born actually like a Memphis born like power and everything like that. I guess you'd say that comes from something that's basically like that you've seen in the city that you'd be like,
yeah. I mean, I've thought of that, and it's like I don't want it to be like how every Canadian character has a winter based power, or they all can turn into snow animals. I have thought
maple syrup tree.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I don't want that. I don't want it to be like, oh, she's going to get her powers from blues music or something.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe.
She's a descendant of Elvis.
I'm going to blow up bracelet. I'm going to blow up bracelet. Yeah. That's going to be true. I do have a character called Presley coming up, but she's actually Japanese, but she's more inspired by Elvis than I don't know. So I don't know. I never say never to anything, but I never want to force something, you know what I'm saying? Like, so if it comes to me naturally,
yeah.
like all my characters do, then that's what I go with. And like most of my characters are literally born out of like songs that mm-hmm. I hear, and not in the way you think. Like I'll just, you know, I'll be listening to something that'll just, I don't even know, like a turn of phrase will trigger something in my head, and then suddenly my brain is rolling and a character will develop or a name or a visual, and then I just sort of go with that, and that's how I develop all my characters. I don't ever try to force it, because I think when I have tried to do that in the past, it just doesn't really work. Not as well as I think, like the characters, are in the book now. They all came about naturally, and I think they all really work. And there is a new character that shows up at the end of number three, and his story came about very naturally and organically. And I don't know if I should talk about it now or should wait.
This is the exclusive moment.
Well, yes. Okay, so I got this character called the Viking coming in, right? And he's basically my take on the Punisher. But there's more to it than that. And what that is that my older brother Tim went on one of these DNA ancestry sites and mm-hmm. found out that we're related to Ivar the Boneless, mm-hmm. you know, the famous Viking who is the son of, I think, Ragnar. So some of the most famous Vikings on the planet were, like, apparently related to them. And I was like, that's really crazy, man. It's like, that's so cool. And then like, my uncle tracked on a mother's side that on that side were also related to the Vikings. And it was just like, this is crazy. So then what started in my head, like, I was like, what if there's this guy who finds out he's related to the Vikings, and he's kind of got a problem, though, when he takes it too far and too literal, like, I'm a Viking, and I'm going to clean up my neighborhood. So he's this Punisher-type vigilante that thinks he's just, he's the answer to all crime in Memphis. And he has no problems with killing and stuff like that. And what Punisher should be.
Yeah.
He is not going to be an anti-hero, because I hate that shit.
Yeah.
He's a fucking villain. He's a villain that doesn't think he's a villain.
Right, right. He's a delusional villain.
Yeah, well, he's literally what the Punisher was in the first 10 years of his existence, yeah. which was great. And every time he showed up, Daredevil or Spider-Man were trying to stop his ass.
Yeah.
And that's where it's going to be, like, when he meets China, she's going to be like, what the fuck is your problem? And he's going to be like, well, you know, I saved your life. I killed the dude. And she's going to be like, that's not cool. Like not literally. Yeah. These aren't the dialogue. But, yeah, so it's going to be interesting. She's not down with it.
Yeah.
Even right. He's like, well, I'm helping you. And she's like, no, that's just not cool. So, anyway, he's like, oh, sorry. I knocked over all the equipment and ruined the podcast. Anyway. So I think he's a real interesting character, though. It came out of the, you know, just a real thing that it's just weird. It's a weird thing that happened in my life. And I think I was in traffic road raging in my head one day when it just came to me. Like, what if I took it all too seriously and started becoming a vigilante? You know, and so that's where it came out of. And, you know, how often I will use him, I don't know, but he'll show up in number three. And then number four... All my characters are going to be punching Nazis. That's
well, that's always a good thing.
Nazis. I got a Nazi supervillain team to come to Memphis, and my characters are not having that shit. So that's going to be fun.
Cool. Okay. All right, man. I'm definitely excited for all the stuff coming up.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited at the idea of being able to give it out more often and just more people reading it and. You know, it would be great to be able to make a living off it. But if that never happens, I can deal with that. As long as people, you know, if a significant amount of people are reading it, that's what I want. Like, I just want people to read it. I put a lot of work into it, and I want people to get into it. And they, I think people will love the characters. I really do.
Because this is definitely an enjoyable comic.
Oh, another thing I don't think I've ever mentioned when we talked about my book is that it's a majority, like, female-led book. There's just almost all female characters in this book. And, like, that's not intentional. But it just happened. Like I said, the way I naturally designed my characters, it just happened. And with me having so many female characters, and then there's also an all-female superhero group called Power Angels, which they hate that name. But I just think it's interesting. And it's like, you know, most of the books... Are we going?
Yeah,
so most of the books on the market, you know, don't have that many female characters. Like, you know, right. Every time you get, like, a new Justice League lineup, people are like, oh, only two girls? Like, you know. So, you know, if you like female characters, give the book a chance. Just check it out and see if you like them, you know.
Right.
Because I think I'm presenting, like, lots of different types of female characters instead of this typical bad girl thing or whatever, you know. And so, I just wanted to mention that. I always forget to talk about that.
So. Definitely. Well, speaking on comics and everything like that, definitely, I guess, I would say here in the last, like, I don't know, probably like 3 months, 4 months, something like that, is like the world of comics itself, between all of them, between like Marvel and Image and DC and everything like that, they're all just, there's a lot going on in every world of them, it seems like.
There's a lot of good stuff being published right now, like really good comics, and it's weird to me that we have things like Comicsgate where these baby men are pissed off that they're oh, it's not about a blonde hair white guy again. Huh. I can't handle that. Like, so what? Like, some of the most interesting books that have ever been published are being published now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does it matter that say it's about a Pakistani teenage American?
Right, exactly. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I have read enough fucking books about Cyclops and Wolverine to last me my lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need it. And that's partly why I think in my book I've gravitated towards female characters. Like, that's what I want to read about.
Right.
So that's what I created. And the guys that are in my comic are different. They're not these fucking comic book stereotype, square jaw, muscle dudes. Right. You know.
He's just the average.
I'm sick of it, man. The blue-eyed, blonde-haired guy. Yeah. Like, I'm sick of it. Like, not that, I mean, I read Captain America if it's being well done, which right now it's an interesting story, so I'm checking it out.
Even stories like with Superman and stuff like that too, you know what I mean? But I definitely, like me myself, I found myself gravitating, even in the major worlds of comics, gravitating more towards characters who may be similar to some of the other characters, but have a completely different background, whatever. Sure. Like, here lately I've been getting into reading Icon. I'm not sure if you
know that. I didn't actually read it, but
he's basically Superman to some aspect, but like his background is so different that it's like it's intriguing that you get kind of sucked into it a little bit.
Sure, sure.
But and then even with successful shows like we were just talking about earlier, we were talking about like Umbrella Academy on Netflix. Or whatever, which is a Dark Horse comic. And then you have Hellboy coming up, which is a Dark Horse comic.
Huge Hellboy fan.
So it's like Dark Horse themselves, they're blowing up. You know?
Yeah, Dark Horse has a habit of sort of...
low-key.
They're low-key and they're under the radar, and then they'll just quietly draw out these amazing books.
Yeah.
And they just keep plugging away, and they just keep doing their thing. And I always loved Dark Horse. When I was originally trying to get my book out there to the world, Dark Horse was my number one company that I was trying to get interested, and they just weren't interested in it. That's fine, but they put out some great books, and Hellboy's one of my favorites, and Empowered is another book that I love that they put out from time to time. Umbrella Academy I never read. I'm not throwing shade. I don't like their artwork, and not that it's bad. I just don't, like, I didn't dig it.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, when the show came out, I was like, man, that's it. I can't believe they made a show about this. Then I was like, last Sunday, Kristen was at her sister's. So I'm like, okay, I got sort of a day off being husband and stepdad. I'm gonna check out the trailer for this, see if I like it. And the trailer, I was like, the whole concept was amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how different it is from a book, but I love the show so far. And I've watched the first four or five episodes, and
there's definitely some differences in the show or whatever from, like, in comparison, like, to the show and the book.
I don't think you could pull those visuals off in a normal live action show.
Well, I mean, to be honest, some of them they did kind of pull off or whatever. Whereas, like, some of the character wise, like, for instance, like Number One, for instance, in the show, like,
I like how they did him instead of how it looks in the book.
Yeah, because, like, if he kind of looked in the book, it would have visually threw you off.
That's what I think. And I've had people on Facebook because I posted about how I liked the show, and then I've literally had like 100 likes and people talking about it all week, and it, which is amazing to me. But then, of course, you have the people that come on and are like, "Oh, I hate it. I wrote the book, and it's nothing like the book."
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I went and did my research, and I just think the way they pulled Luther off, I think it looks better in the show.
Right.
That's just
and then
opinion.
Because even
I get it though,
even,
like,
even you know, someone like I guess you say like reverse character role parts, I guess, you know, like even like with Luther and everything, number one, is the fact that like in the comic book or whatever, he's proud of who he is. He's
sure.
like, yeah, like I am who I am kind of thing. But like in the show where it's kind of more of like a shame, like I'm half monkey kind of guy, you know what I'm saying? he freaks out about it.
Here's the way I look at it. Like any of these shows, I mean, if you just look at comic book shows and movies from the past, if this had been produced even like 2 years ago, I think they would have changed it even more dramatically. It just would have just would have been a school for these kids. They wouldn't have any of the weirdness to it.
Probably. Right, right.
Pogo would not be part of it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
It would have been way simpler, and it would be darker visually, so they could not have to show certain things. They'd be hiding in the shadows.
Right.
The shows what to do.
Like,
it's as close to the book as it seems to be.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing. And people should just celebrate that and not get hung up on the what's different.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way I look at like Doom Patrol looks to me. I haven't seen it yet, but I love
it. Oh, it's amazing.
I'm a Doom Patrol fan from way back. And it looks, definitely different. Yeah. But it looks, the stuff that looks the same, I am stunned that we're seeing it on a TV show.
Like it's like, the thing about it, how I 110% agree with what you were just saying about how shows were, because I always remind people there was a Bryan Singer era.
We are a long way from all the characters looking like they're rejects from the Village People.
Yeah,
everybody's wearing the same black leather. With tight crotches and we're finally
Kevin Freeze.
We're
in
a different era, and we're finally
getting
strong female characters. In the forefront instead of being these background characters of like, oh, you gotta add a girl, whatever.
Right.
Like Storm in those X-Men movies should never be this fucking wallflower girl that just shows up occasionally.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh, I throw some lightning bolts. Like, no, man, Storm's a freaking goddess.
Right.
She was raised to be, she thought she was a goddess.
Right. And then the fact too is like, not only that, but she could go back through the astral plane and do all that kind of other stuff too.
It's just,
what I think, well, since we're going in this direction now, I was going to say.
I'm sorry, I always take things off in a tangent.
Because actually that brings up a good subject when you talk about Storm, because I've always thought to myself that now that you've gone through, Marvel has gone through their cinematic universe in some time.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they have the chance to get a few of the Fox characters or whatever, I feel it would be a perfect moment. Maybe not for Black Panther 2, but for Black Panther 3, for him and Storm to finally be married and so on and so forth. That would be like the most perfect kind of thing, I think.
Yeah.
And like, that would definitely set Marvel up for some futuristic greatness.
Black Panther was so well done. It would be a great place to relaunch that character.
Because that's
where they're looking at now, is that they need to relaunch everybody in the X-Men universe except for Deadpool.
Right.
And except for Colossus.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I mean, really, they've got to really rehab everybody.
Right. Now, to be honest, even with the Deadpool movies, if you were to take how Colossus and you were to take how Deadpool and Juggernaut from the second one, how they look and you just to throw them
just
in the
keep
MCU,
just keep them
they would be perfect already. Perfect already.
Absolutely.
Thank
God, by the way, for the Deadpool movies. Thank God for Ryan Reynolds for believing in that shit and doing it correctly to sort of get redemption for being part of that fucking abortion that was the original Deadpool in that shitty Wolverine movie.
Yeah.
I mean, and seriously, and then the fact that they aren't scared to make fun of it in the first Deadpool movie. They're not scared of making fun of the failure of Green Lantern either.
Right.
Like, you know, and that's great. I think it's great. Yeah. And it's like, the fact that they pulled off the Deadpool costume alone is
worth the price
of admission. But
right.
It's now given us, we're spending now into seeing like Aquaman look like fucking Aquaman towards the end, for the most part.
And see, to be honest,
which it would not have happened 5 years ago. He would have been a James in the T-shirt that whole damn movie.
Right.
We both know it.
Yeah. Because, like, I definitely feel that we've come to a point now that we've gotten, what's his name? Like you said, Ryan Reynolds. He's brought the best costumes, you know what I'm saying? And all those characters look really original, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then, like you said, Aquaman, that looks really original and everything. But I feel if you go back to Iron Man, you know what I'm saying? Iron Man kind of started it a little bit.
Yeah, well, but Iron Man was definitely the revolution of the Marvel movie.
Well, see, I even go back to the original Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton. Now, I'm not saying that Edward Norton was the best character person to play that role.
No, you're right. That really was the first sort of restart of what they had been doing. And they were like, they knew they had to change things up and sort of start tying things together. Yeah. And I think it was... Yeah, and so then that's where they went with Iron Man and started saying, like, we're going to start weaving things together.
Right.
And that did so well, they were like, okay, now we're going to start Marvel Studios.
Right, and then really I think, too, another big thing is I'm one of those people, I feel that that original Incredible Hulk, he looks the best.
So you like that one better?
Yeah, in comparison to the other one.
I like the Avengers one.
So
I do, but I know what you're saying. They're definitely, I was watching it actually the other couple weeks ago, Incredible Hulk. Oh. And the Hulk, he does look really good in it, but the graphic, like the CGI in it is comical in parts of it where it shouldn't be.
Yeah, some parts.
Like it's so bad, like so like, it like suddenly becomes a video game where it shouldn't. So that kind of takes me out of it, but you know, he did a great job. Mm. I mean, Liv Tyler did a great job as Betty. It was a good movie. I mean, I remember enjoying it in the theater. I've enjoyed Zabania. Is that his name? Eric Bana? No.
Oh, no. Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo. Yeah. Eric Bana was the first guy.
Yeah.
Sorry. He's the...
He was the...
Let's
the
not talk about
Shrek.
No, give over the Shrek Hulk. The incredibly size-changing Hulk.
Right.
Depending on what scene.
Right.
He's 8 feet tall. He's 30 feet tall. So anyway, I like Ruffalo. He's good. He's definitely a different take on Banner than you normally see. Because he's kind of beefy,
right?
Like he's not skinny. Like,
and
like
see,
that's where Norton was great.
Right, Norton. Like yeah, Norton. Short. Yeah, I because you know when you have those like dual role characters, whatever. Yeah. Like Norton was the kind of person that like he played a better Banner than he did actual Hulk.
Sure.
Yeah. Whereas I feel like Ruffalo plays a better Hulk than he does Banner. Because, like, I'm not even gonna lie,
I agree with that.
And what was the last movie? In The Last Avengers or whatever, I was one of those people, I was like, oh, this sucks so bad. Please turn into Hulk. I don't want to see you as Banner. Hulk wasn't fighting or anything. It was just, I'm like, you as Banner is killing me right now. You are my Andrew Garfield right now.
I know what you're saying. It's kind of the same feeling I have about the Flash and the Justice League movie.
Yeah.
He's not the Flash I wanted. And he's not a Flash that we've ever seen before, as far as like just any of it, personality, the way he looks.
Yeah.
But I actually like it. And it's the same thing with Banner and these Avengers movies. I like it. It's not what I wanted, but I can accept it because I like it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, I guess
it is because I divorce these movies from comic books. I don't.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, like I've come
within
to the point,
this,
yeah.
this universe.
Yeah, I've definitely come to the point to like separate the two now, but.
I will say this, I was mad that Norton wasn't in that first Avengers movie. I was kind of like, oh, man.
Oh, well, you mean like he
was disappointed.
Like a cameo?
I was hoping he would be in the movie as Banner.
Oh.
No, not a cameo. When I first heard he was going to be in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
not even going to lie. I was one of those people that I was really disappointed when I first heard that Mark Ruffalo was going to play him. But I was more excited when I saw him playing Hulk more so than
Hulk,
I was.
I think definitely looks better ever in the Avengers movies.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, but you know, you got to give it to the people doing the effects. That I love how they've used both of their faces in their versions of the Hulk. I mean, because that is he would still look like himself.
Yeah. You know? And I think too that I think the best rendition they've had so far is in Ragnarok, I think.
Oh, like God, yeah, absolutely. It's my favorite Thor movie, and it's probably the favorite appearance of Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie is.
Because it's really, Ragnarok is really like a Hulk / Thor movie.
Well, you know, it's like a Marvel team-up movie. Is what it is.
Yeah, it is.
And I would have geeked out if they had labeled it. Yeah. That would have been freaking amazing. And maybe that's something they need to think about doing. Yeah. Maybe they should do Marvel team-up movies and just have Spider-Man team up with a bunch of characters that we wouldn't normally see in a movie.
Right. Well, to be honest, I feel like will be even better if they did that is if they had it to where, say, for instance, like how the Netflix shows have kind of like failed a little bit, mainly because I feel like they're probably a little bit darker than the actual shows are, the movies are. But another thing is the fact that
I want to touch on one thing real quick.
What?
I don't think they like if you're saying they failed because they canceled them all.
No, like not saying they only canceled.
They've only canceled them to pull them into the upcoming Marvel streaming service.
Well, not that too.
If Marvel wasn't doing that, I think Netflix would still be doing most of the shows.
I think too that the shows, I feel like Netflix, they went too fast. You know,
I think they went too fast because I think they didn't know exactly what they wanted to do with certain characters.
Right.
But they just went forward anyways. And I think
so had to pause for a second. So now I'm like totally off. But Marvel team ups and everything. I know. So basically, one thing I was going with that was that with the shows or whatever, not saying that they necessarily failed because they were dark or anything, mm-hmm. but necessarily saying, I'm saying that more so it failed because you had the success of Daredevil and everything mm-hmm. like that. And then you had the success of Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. But I feel like they probably should have stopped there, probably. And they should have probably let them kind of go out just a little bit, you know what I mean? And kind of let them branch out and then brought the other characters in or whatever. Then the other thing is the fact that I feel Marvel may have screwed themselves just a touch with their shows being cross-channeled, you know what I'm saying? Because Freeform, which is an ABC channel, also produces a show, Cloak and Dagger, and everything, which ABC, the main channel, produces the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Inhumans. And then, of course, you have the Cinematic Universe. So, after going back and watching some shows and everything like that, the Netflix shows are integrated somewhat into the Cinematic Universe, right? Because there's information in the shows that's like, this is what's happening.
Yeah, they were. Well, and they also, don't they reference the... They reference the Avengers movie.
Yeah.
And Daredevil.
Right. And then Luke Cage. Yeah. It's two. Yeah. So then, with not only that, so you have Danny Rand and the Rand family and Iron Fist, or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So in Cloak and Dagger, which is a Freeform show, they make mention of the Rands and stuff. Yeah, the Rand Corporation and everything like that because the Rock song.
That's kind of cool, though.
And everything like that. Also, if you think, I want to say that
That's one thing that Marvel is comics.
Yeah.
They did that first and they did it the best, is sort of interlocking their books even by just casual mentions of things that are happening.
Right.
And that
links
their books together. And like they did it, like DC. I mean, God bless them. They should have figured it out first. They've been publishing way longer.
Right.
But they did it. Marvel did it first, and they did it best, and you know DC now does it too. But I think absolutely they need to be carrying that shit over.
Yeah,
Runaways should be, even though it's on another.
Exactly.
It should reference Marvel stuff. Right. I don't know if it does. I haven't seen it yet.
I've only gotten into the first season of Runaways, but I feel like there could be references to maybe Cloak and Dagger in the show.
Which would be great. There is that connection.
So. And in the actual show, Cloak and Dagger, it's not like a full-on, like, reference, but there's, like, suggesting or whatever that, hey, there's another guy who's a young guy or whatever who lives in New York or whatever, who, if any, you know, fans of the comic, they know that Cloak and Dagger cross crossway to Spider-Man mm-hmm. quite a few times.
That's where they first appeared.
Yeah. And so that would be amazing, actually, to have that pop up some way. Even with the Tom Holland and all that. You know,
here's what I'm thinking, man. Yeah, I think that'd be cool. That'd be really cool, actually. And what I would also love is if they're saying they're not going to do this, but I'm hoping they're lying because they want to keep it under wraps.
Yeah.
But I hope they use the Netflix characters, at least in cameos in Endgame.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that too, and I hope
First Class had Wolverine in that 30-second scene.
Yeah.
In the bar, and he's like, fuck off.
Yeah, yeah.
Even just that. Just that of, like, Luke Cage and Danny in a bar, and they hear something's happening, and they're like, nah, that's not our fight.
Yeah.
It's not our fight. Something like that. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Or
they don't have to fight, just have it, because that's what Marvel used to do. It was so great. You'd have some big cosmic event, and you would show the reactions of all these different characters.
Right,
all in the Marvel Universe, just noticing something crazy was happening.
Right.
You'd have something crazy happen to the X-Men, you'd have Spider-Man reacting like, what the?
Yeah, right. Like, exactly.
My Spider-Sense is going crazy.
Right.
You know, because Dark Phoenix is over there trying to kill the X-Men. You know,
right.
And that was great. And they should do that.
And there's actually been talks, too, that Hugh Jackman might make an appearance.
And I think that would be amazing.
And if he did make the cameo, I feel like there's two things that would open the door for it, I feel like. One, it opens the door for the fact that Hugh Jackman, A, is no longer part of Fox and all that.
Right.
And it opens the door for him to do a lot more stuff. Mm-hmm. Two, it could have the thing where he could actually have the actual costume.
It finally introduced the X-Men into the MCU universe.
Right.
And divorce them, or just not divorce them, but just take them out of the Fox universe.
Right.
And now say, okay, it's connected now. Have Deadpool show up. Seriously.
Even
if they're cameos.
Yeah, even because those cameos.
Spider-Man, right?
Right.
Homecoming was fucking great. With all the Iron Man stuff, it was great. They have to do more of that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's so...
Yeah. Because I feel, too, like...
It's satisfying.
That's gonna... I feel like if Wolverine does show up, or Hugh Jackman has Wolverine, or even if they got a different actor to play a young Wolverine or something,
mm-hmm.
I feel like...
Make him short.
Yeah, well, I feel like, one, it should be kind of a thing where it's like an interaction between, it would be like an interaction between Logan and Captain America kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. But... Ultimately, the hugest thing is that could open the biggest door for Marvel's Avengers versus X-Men. Because that's one of the most classic battle lines, like, I think that's probably the original Civil War, probably, in the comics, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or before the actual Civil War happened.
Yeah.
I think that would be really cool. Amazing.
I was going to say about the Netflix shows real quick that I really liked them overall, but I thought they were kind of boring.
Episodes.
Episodes are too long because they filled it with just so much talking.
Yeah.
I don't need to have another monologue of Kingpin talking about his childhood. I really, really, really do not. Like, I just can't take it.
Yeah.
And they cast the show so well.
Right.
Like, I wanted to love it, and it's like Kingpin would be talking, and I'm like, he needs to go back to Foggy and Karen. Like,
I would have
them talk about nothing. I don't care. Like, I just, because, like, Kingpin gets on, and he's also serious, and it's like, show me Rosario Dawson again. Like,
It's
like Night Nurse. If you can't show me a bunch of action, then it's got to be something more. Like, and I know what they were trying to do. And it was kind of brilliant to sort of marry up these street level Marvel characters with like cop drama,
basically
Law and Order,
type of vibe,
and then it does really work. But here's the problem: I think each show, like, there's not enough characters to do exactly what they do in Law and Order. Law and Order has so many pieces; it doesn't get boring,
right? Because I feel that's the thing that DC has they've marketed on that, and they're like, you know what? You can't just have this one character and do season after season after season based on this one person.
Right, and three side characters.
So right, and so what they should have done, I feel like, instead of making Defenders or whatever, they should have made it to where it's like Luke Cage has his own show, and then Danny is part of his show.
Yeah, I would have loved that.
And then make it to where it would have been.
Because honestly, dude, that's what happened in the comics.
Right, right.
They combined. Both books weren't doing that great. Power Man and Iron Fist. Right. And someone had the brilliant idea. Let's team up. Let's combine.
Exactly.
That's where that.
Yeah. So and like I said, definitely. That's what you did. Those definitely were those great comics. But, like those.
Well, even if they'd done as 30-minute shows and they weren't so monologue heavy and slightly boring, I think they still would have canceled because they want to do their own streaming network, whatever.
Yeah.
Which everybody's doing now. Which that bubble's going to pop in a couple of years because people. I don't think people want to pay for every freaking channel that they want to
right,
watch.
Exactly.
So it's.
I feel like it's
kind of a bad.
Yeah.
It's a bad.
Yeah, I do. I think so too, but I think. Marvel has seen, I think, the light of saying, you know what, like, there's no need for us to do shows, you know what I'm saying? Because we already have the cinematic universe put together.
Sure.
So, and now that, you know, what is it, like, phase four, I think, that they're in?
I think they're about to start, yeah, four. Or, is it, I mean, well, is it? I don't know.
Yeah. I think it is, but.
You still have phase two stuff happening. If you think about it.
Yeah, I guess.
Doctor Strange, Black Panther, they're phase two. We've only got one movie each from them.
Yeah, and then Spider-Man would be also, I guess, on phase two, I guess.
Yeah. Phase 13.
Well, I guess as a whole, as we
as
a whole, I guess you're on, I guess you say four, because you would have had, what is it, the Earthbound universe, I guess, and then you would have had the Magic universe, and you got the Cosmic universe,
gotcha.
And then you got the Collective, I guess, as a whole, whatever, but,
So, I'm going to ask you a question. What do you think of Captain Marvel?
Okay, all right, so, I knew this was going to come before you even start,
I like, that's one of my characters from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That I latched onto, Carol Danvers.
Is it the original Luke, Captain?
Ms. Marvel, yeah.
Yeah.
So her, Luke Cage, Danny, those are the characters I imprinted on real early, like when I was like 7 or 8, in the X-Men. It was like, that was my jam, you know, those were my characters. So,
right.
So, I'm a fan, and it's like,
I guess me personally, I'm one of those people, I'm more of a fan of the original Ms. Marvel, you know what I'm saying? Who ultimately gave Rogue her powers and all that kind of stuff, you know what I'm saying? But with Ms. Marvel and the retelling of how she is, I guess I was somewhat of a fan up until Civil War, I guess.
Yeah,
because
Civil War, man.
Yeah, Civil War, I think I was like, Carol Danvers, she wants to kill us all.
I think
as far as that part of it has ruined the character, but I want to see
her. I think House of M, they tried to rehab her like really quickly and make her like, because in House of M, in that universe, she was like their Superman. And then after that, when they came back to the regular Marvel universe, they pushed her heavily, like, Ms. Marvel's a shit. Like, come on, everybody love her. But here's the problem with the books. They don't put A-level talent on it.
Yeah.
And they expect it to do A-level numbers. Right.
Well, the thing about it,
I understand that. And, like, they're even doing it right now with the new book. I haven't read the first two issues yet, but just looking at it. And I'm not throwing shade. Just, like, it's not, okay, it's not, I don't know, maybe you're some top artist. Like, it's not them, it's unknown.
I think, why do that
if you're trying to push this character?
You know, right, because you would think you would go get a Jeff Johns or, you know, something like that.
Why not do that at least for 6 issues?
Right.
Why relaunch with people who you've never heard of?
Yeah.
People know what
they're because, and Marvel's pretty big about getting Bendis to do a lot of stuff when they lost
Bendis.
It's true.
So that's the problem with that.
but okay, so here's the thing.
Do you think the trailer looks good? Like, have you the trailers?
The trailer.
I'm enjoying them, but
the trailer is good because I think that Marvel's their movies as far as their CG sucks, but as far as their like, I think so personally. I think DC has the upper hand as far as their CG goes. But I think
they're both really good. I mean, beyond going to the early MCU movies. If you look at the last
Yeah. Now, if you look at Avengers, the first Avengers, yeah, it looks...
Compare. Yeah, but... Like, I was watching it, the first Avengers, on... we have this huge smart TV, high def and all that, and, like, it makes a lot of all the movies look terrible.
Yeah.
It still looked really good. Like, I was surprised. But Hulk, Incredible Hulk, looked terrible.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so...
The reason I'm saying that is because, like I said, as far as their CG goes, as far as that kind of thing goes, it looks kind of sick, but when they do, like, the, what is the CG called when they take, like, the old face, they make the new face, looks super
good. They're like Star Wars, what they're trying to
do. Yeah, the... I'm just going to call it regen CGI. But when they do like the regen CGI, I think it looks really good. So I think as far as them having Samuel Jackson doing some roles and stuff like that, I feel like that's going to look really good as far as them not just taking his face full of makeup.
Yeah.
I think that'll look good. It's just, I think me personally, I feel like instead of doing Captain Marvel, they should have went with, like, Nova, because you already had the Nova Corp there and all that stuff anyway. But I think, just because I feel like as Captain Marvel and not Ms. Marvel, it's just, like, overpowered. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I understand that
she's too powerful? Is that what you're saying?
Well, as far as a character they've had in the MCU so far, I think she's going to be... I think she'll be too powerful. You know what I'm saying? And I think
the MCU needs that, though. That's one thing DC has, where it's like, if there was a fight between the Justice League and Avengers, Avengers are doomed. Like, the power levels are, like, just through the roof.
Well, and I think that Marvel is trying to use Captain Marvel as their Wonder Woman. I mean...
Oh, absolutely.
If Wonder Woman hadn't
succeeded like it did,
we may not
be seeing the big push for this movie. Like
right.
They are.
Right.
Yeah, I get that. I mean... Well, I don't know. I'm biased because I love the character. But even having said that, I'm still not used to her as Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And what has it been, 10 years or whatever?
Right.
And I still can't get used to it.
Right. And then, you know,
I slip up all the time calling her Ms. Marvel all the time.
Yeah.
And I love the teenage Ms. Marvel. I do. But,
not the hugest fan.
Have you read the book?
Some of it.
If you read the book, and not more than just an issue or two, it's a really well-done book. But the thing is, it's almost more on the line of like a series of like children's books.
Right. I mean,
if you can just wrap your head around that, then all comics don't have to have the same tone.
Well, yeah.
It's really good.
But it's not
a good book to flip through. But if you read it, it's a fucking great book. Yeah. It really is. It just is. And
I don't like
her stretchy powers, and I don't like her costume, but it's a great book.
Yeah.
It's just, you know what I'm saying?
The costume necessarily doesn't bother me so much. It's more so of the, like, the powers that they gain. Because I'm like, you know, like, Ms. Marvel, I guess because you're so used to thinking of Ms. Marvel as, like, this, like, super powerful character and so on and so forth. And I'm like, you're just kind of, they kind of made her, like, a toned-down Mr. Fantastic and kind of, because, like, Mr. Fantastic could do a lot of stuff. And it's I think of her and I'm like, you have so much potential to do so much crazy, amazing stuff, and it's like they're not even the artists. I guess are not tapping into that.
Well, because that's not. It's just not the type of book they're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's times where I'm like, she could do it. This should happen now.
Like the Marvel movies or the shows. Like the Defenders could have been a like just balls to the wall action fest,
right,
for 6 episodes. And I haven't even watched them, but like, I know they weren't. I guarantee you. There was a shitload of talking.
Like, yeah.
Well, they're not podcasts.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be entertaining. Matter of fact, I would say it's the one complaint I have about Umbrella Academy is there's a little too much talking. Like, let's get on with it.
Yeah.
Quit whining.
Yeah.
You had a
Shut up, time. Diego.
You lived in a mansion and your daddy was mean to you. I get it. Like, you still call him dad. So, like,
right. Your mom's a robot.
You know. Your mom's a robot. Which, for me, for like 3 episodes, I'm like, do they know she's a robot?
Right.
Like, do they act like they don't know? So that was, it's a great show. It's
good.
But I guess my point is you can find a fault in almost anything if you're looking.
Yeah, definitely. But
here's my thing about Captain Marvel and why I brought it up. Is Okay, so you're not a fan of Captain Marvel as she is now. I get that. What I don't understand is that now there's a, the Comicsgate people and people like them have targeted this character in this movie to try to ruin it. Because she's a woman, I guess, and because Brie Larson said something that they didn't like and whatever. And it's like, I'm just sick of it. Like, don't, if you don't want to watch it, don't fucking watch it.
Right.
Trust me, there's going to be another movie about a blonde, blue-eyed, white man coming up. You can go see that. Hello. Sorry, I'm painting the dog. You can't see the dog.
Even two, you like with that? I think that DC should look at that as their chance to like take that and run with it. You know what I'm saying? okay, so yeah, pause for a second. But like I said, we were talking about DC's chance to catch up, and so like we were just talking for a second ago that Jeff Johns, whatever it's his. He's been doing a lot of movies and a lot of, well, not movies, I guess, but TV and stuff like that. Whatever.
Well, I think he did consult the Aquaman film. Even if he didn't, they used a lot of his story points.
Yeah.
From his run on Aquaman, which is really cool. I mean,
right. They
really did a great job with the trench.
That entire movie was amazing.
But that scene where they jump in the water and the flare sort of spans out and you see what they are surrounded by.
Man, that's a creepy stuff. I was like, oh, they're dead. That's another movie. Very well done. And that's Jeff Johns. Mm-hmm. That whole concept is him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, so I know that once before that we were talking, and I mentioned, I personally feel that if you were to give Greg from CW, you give James Wan from Aquaman, you take Jeff Johns, you get put him as like a producer slash consultant type of deal.
Absolutely.
And then you take James Gunn and you give him like the creativity over your like your anti-hero slash villains and stuff like that.
Sure.
DC honestly could have the chance to fully come out on top.
Yeah, I think right now they are poised for victory with that and all of it with Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and what looks like Shazam looks like it's going to be great.
I think the tone they picked for it is probably
perfect for what it needs to be. And it looks like they're using a lot of what Jeff Johns has done with the new version of Shazam, but not yet getting into all the different versions. Like the simplified.
Shazam.
Kid. And I know some people don't like the Shazam, the modern Shazam, but I like it. I've liked the character since I was a kid, and I like the new take on it. I mean, things have got to evolve as far as comics go, and. You know, this is a character from the freaking 40s.
Right.
You know,
who's been like, tossed between labels.
You can't really present him as he was in the 40s in 2019.
Yeah.
You could, but I mean, I don't get the point of that. If you really love that version, go read those books. You can get trades and you can get some of it on Comicsology or whatever. Just do that. And it's like, otherwise, you know, I think open your mind. But I think you're right. Like, they did such a great job on. Like I said, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, like they're good movies,
right?
You know, whether you know these characters or not, and if you're like me, where I am a huge Aquaman fan, and I love Jeff Johns' versions of his run on the book, and to see a lot of that on the big screen,
merged
with some of the classic Aquaman stuff, it was really cool. I mean, I just loved it, and I love the fact that they. Visually, that they weren't afraid to go with, they weren't afraid to do all the color and costumes and Mera actually looked like Mera and Ocean Master and Black Manta. The fact that they pulled that helmet off, a live action movie,
in the movie too, even made the joke to the original Black Manta helmet. Yeah. So
it was great. I mean. You know, so, like, that was just exciting to me. And it's funny, like, the haters of DC Universe movies or Marvel movies. And I remember someone telling me the week Aquaman came out, and it did well. But it wasn't necessarily what DC or Warner Brothers wanted that first week in America. But it did really well overseas, like, immediately.
Right.
And I remember someone telling me online, like, oh, well, that's it. That's over. Like, it's going to bomb, and then DC's going to stop making movies. And blah. I'm like, I say, I think you're wrong. I really think this thing's going to have legs. And now it's going on to be their biggest movie.
Right, right.
And I almost said one of, but it's not one of. It's their biggest movie.
Yeah.
And I think it's the biggest movie because they found a way to stay true to these characters, but also present slightly different versions that would appeal to more of a mainstream, widespread audience.
Right.
People that don't even like comics, I think, could get into this movie.
Right.
That's hard to do, man.
Yeah,
it is. They did it. They made it work. It's not a perfect movie.
No, I mean, it's pretty fucking cool. I would definitely say that James Wan with Aquaman took the Thor approach, you know what
sure,
I'm saying?
Sure.
And I feel like doing that, he made it to where it's like, he took the character,
mm-hmm.
and then he was like, okay, I'm going to open an entire world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like that ultimately is what...
Think about it. Like,
is drawing the people in, because they're like, you know, like, I have this whole entire world of character, of which one character that is underwater, one,
yeah.
and then they've taken you through the trip of the seven seas, and then,
yeah.
you know, like above...
They were afraid to show off.
Yeah, and like, what was also, I feel like, a major stepping stone as far as comic book movies and with DC taking the chance with Aquaman is showing multiple villains.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of just having, like, okay, well, like, because from the previews, you would have thought from
they made it work, too. They didn't do Spider-Man 3. They didn't have, like, half-assed versions.
Right.
Of the characters.
Right.
They are full-fledged
right.
great villains.
Right. And it kind of opened up, to me, the fact that it's like, with Aquaman, you have Ocean Master, you have the Trench, you got Black Manta. You got all these three major characters, right, of his are enemies, besides the people who are in his own land.
I mean, those are his main ones. Though.
Right.
And I think they did that is because they weren't sure if they're going to make another one.
Right.
So I think James was like, I'm going to give it all. Like, we're just going to throw it all in this movie. We're going to go balls to the wall with it and make it work the best we can make it work.
Yeah.
Because we might never get
changed. Right.
Because yeah. especially after what had happened with Justice League.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people were saying Wonder Woman was a fluke and all that sort of stuff. And thank God he did it. Because, I mean, one of my problems with Wonder Woman is the villain. The villain is just generic CGI.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Bad guy turns gigantic and all that.
Right.
Same old shit. And it's the worst part of that movie.
Yeah. Now, I was saying, as far as Wonder Woman goes, Wonder Woman... To me personally, of the DC movies before Aquaman or whatever, was definitely their highlight. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Because it was. But
Justice League.
Think how much better it would have been if the villain, I don't know, was Cheetah or I mean, I don't know. You have to change the story, but even if it was Ares, but he looked like Ares. With that killer armor,
right.
or something. You know.
Yeah. Well, to me, I feel like
they went generic with it, and I think they went generic with it. Because that seems to work for Marvel quite often, and they kind of got scared, and they played it safe. And luckily, Aquaman does not play it safe.
Right.
Like I told you last week, or whenever we talked, it's heavy metal meets disco. And that's not a safe thing to do.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, like, you get the epic battles and the action that's heavy metal.
Right.
And then you got the colors and the vibrancy and Mara and her glittery outfit and that's the disco, man. That's the disco. And even some of the songs, you know? Like,
right.
And they weren't afraid to mash all that up. And it was a fun movie.
Right. And I feel, too.
And people have sort of got on me about saying it's fun. Like, that's not enough. Quit calling things fun. Well, it is fun. But it's and I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. Like, it's fun, but it's there's so much to it.
Right,
it's
and
not
I feel
a,
like by saying that it's a fun movie, it's not saying that like bringing the movie down at all. Because I feel like what Aquaman did was take a comic book character and then make a movie that was for fucking nerds. You know what I'm saying? Because basically, you took Lord of the Rings large scale action and everything like that, you know, and then you took the comic book action that you would get from, say, a Marvel movie or something like that.
Yeah.
Plus, you get You get almost
you get the world building of like a what comic book's going.
Well, I would say you get like the world building. Well, you get like the plot story world building of like a James Cameron type of movie. And so it's like I think all of that together created what was that? What you say a fun movie?
And there's another thing they did though, which was smart. And like, yeah, there's part of me that would love to have seen your classic take on Aquaman. He's a king. Mm. And he's very serious. He's got that short hair.
Right.
And they didn't go with that take. And I think I'm glad that they did it, because I don't think that version would appeal to so many people.
Right.
Where this sort of surfer dude approach they took with
Jason Momoa.
Yeah, I think it works so much better. It appeals to so many more people that he's not, you know, he's likable. And he's also a badass, but it's like he doesn't necessarily consider himself a badass. Yeah. I don't know. It just worked. It worked for me.
Right.
Where I don't think the classic Aquaman would have worked as well. It wouldn't appeal to some people.
Right.
Like, I may have loved it, but.
And plus, I think the casting with movies has a big thing, but like that movie casting pretty perfect.
It was pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty
so, because I think the biggest thing of all is when I saw the trailer and I was like, Dolph Lundgren. Like, I think that was the biggest.
I didn't even notice he was in it until I was like, that was Dolph. I'm like, oh.
Well, because I think the two biggest ones for me besides Dolph, I was going to say the other one would have been Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman was great.
I was really worried about her role being in there because.
Let's talk about Nicole Kidman doing these action scenes and pull it off. Like,
right, because you've never seen that. You've never
seen Nicole Kidman do that. That's
so
great.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think in the beginning of the movie, when it first starts, I'm kind of like, I don't know. Like, I'm.
Oh, yeah, I went in prepared to be like, how many cringeworthy moments am I going to sit there?
Right.
And then I was just happy that there were only a handful.
Right. And then really, the cringeworthy moments were really just like one-liners that could have been done way better.
Sure. And I don't even, honestly, other than Pitbull doing Africa.
Oh, yeah. The thing about it is, that's
5 seconds.
Every time I see a movie like that, I'm like, I even told my girlfriend before we started, my fiance before we started, I said, if there's a beach scene or anything like that, there's probably going to be Pitbull. It's going to be there, especially if it's in Miami somewhere.
That's funny.
But
my thing is, like, if you're going to have a cover of Africa in this movie, why not use the version that's top of the charts already?
By Weezer. Right.
Like, I get that Weezer's version isn't a party version song, but that was already a hit. Like, that seemed kind of an odd choice to me.
Right.
It was almost like they made the choice years ago and they just had that they had to stick with it or something. I don't know. You know, and that probably is what it is, you know, because, you know, think about the timing of the movie, how long it takes to make these movies. So they couldn't have predicted that Weezer would have a hit with Africa. How Weezer didn't even predict
that. Right.
You know? And a little side note on that, how people are hating on their cover album. What they have done with this album is fucking brilliant. They've got people talking about them again.
Yeah.
And it's not about that. They didn't put that out for that album. Their next album is ready to drop, and it's called the Black Album. Mm. That's what they're trying to get people to buy. This was just something to get people to talk about, good or bad.
And
honestly, they just kind of did it like cover by numbers. Like, it's not, there's nothing new happening.
Right.
It's not that exciting. And I get it. It's brilliant. And they probably recorded the album in like 2 days.
Yeah.
And then now, people are talking about that.
Right.
And they don't give a shit. They don't care. It's like, that's part of their whole thing. Like, oh, whatever, let's do it real quick. They do it live all the time. They do these kind of albums.
Yeah.
But the new album, the Black Album, I'm going to plug it. Like I previewed a couple songs on iTunes, and it's really cool. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The song where the chorus is Die, You Fucking Zombies. And it's great, and it's catchy, and I love it. Anyway. I'll plug anybody if I think it's good.
Oh, yeah. Weezer's always been the shit, though.
I love Weezer. People can handle it. Here's my point on that. Like, social media, like enough with the people that feel like they have to come up when you're talking about something you like, and they have to go take a big shit on it.
No,
I didn't ask for your opinion, your negative opinion. We're just having back a little conversation here about something we like. Yeah. You gotta come in and go, oh, but actually I hate it. And Wizard hasn't been good for 25 years. I'm like, I don't care.
Right. It's 2019, damn it.
When I'm listening to music, I am not thinking about what John Wuchumama is thinking. We're Facebook friends, but I've never met you. I don't give a shit. I don't care. I don't care. You don't have to like it. Don't like it.
Right.
I'm empowering you. Don't like it. But I don't need to hear it. Not saying you can't. I'm just telling you that it's annoying.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. Okay, I've tried to post about this over on my Facebook, and there's always these people that don't get what I'm saying. They're like, you're being negative. No. Like, you're telling them not to be negative. I'm like, I'm just trying to make a point. Like, if you want to be negative about Weezer, do it on your wall.
Yeah.
Don't come to my wall and my thread. Hijack my thread. That's what I'm saying. But we live in the times when everybody's got to have an opinion. Everybody's got to talk about it. And sometimes you don't. Just shut up.
Right.
Just occasionally. Not occasionally. Shut your fucking mouth. That's all I'm saying. Sorry, that's been bugging me for weeks, and now I have an outlet for it. So,
definitely should do more podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I think
grinds my gears by that hours.
Let's steal that. The podcast coming to 2019.
It's 2019. What the fuck? 2019.
Yes.
That's insane.
I know, right? It's almost 2020.
Just stop it. I can't go.
The future is here.
No, we gotta figure out how to slow down time.
That's so funny, because I was just thinking about that the other day. I was like, you can tell nobody's invented a time machine, because nobody stops shit right now. Shit is going to fuck right now, man.
maybe that's the result of all the time travelers. They have fucked up the
time. Maybe. Maybe.
I'm telling you, man. That's the only thing that would explain Donald Trump.
Yeah, or the fact that the Simpsons are the only people who have a time machine and haven't shared it with anybody yet.
Oh, God. It's awful.
We should. That could be a whole podcast show, I think. The Simpsons created a time machine and haven't told anybody.
I thought it was going to be like about how much I hate Donald Trump.
Oh.
That would be a very angry podcast.
Well, definitely appreciate you being on the podcast, man.
Thanks for having me back, man.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Had a lot of fun time. Yep. Got to meet your dog. Your dog is adorable.
Lulu.
I might just have to kidnap her. Yeah, I'm sorry. This might have to. My dog, Birdie Claire, is going to be really angry when I get home. She's going to be very mad.
Maybe but, yeah. Just sleep. That's it. Well, definitely gonna have you back on some other times. Maybe talk about some comics.
Some things. Let's see. So we talked about Memphis, but also a lot of freelance work. I letter a book called Crucified, which should be coming out. I'm thinking this summer is what he was telling me. Really good book. Really well written. Kind of jealous of this writer, Sheldon Allen. He's really amazing. And the artist he's got on the book is phenomenal too, so it's just great to be part of it. And then I still also letter books for Short Fuse Media, so you can check those out. They have a lot of books, and they're pretty good too. The main one I think I do regularly is like Father and Daughter, which is a really cool book. It's kind of like if Superman had a daughter, but she didn't know, and she's very angry. It's kind of cool. A lot of teen angst. Yeah. It's a good book, though. All
right.
So, check them out. And just, check out comic books.
Yeah.
Comic books. There's a lot of good comics out there, like I said. And if we're talking about this Marvel and all that. If you don't like it, that's fine. there's a lot of good books. But go find something else,
Right.
Like you said, you love Umbrella Academy, the book. And, I love, there's a book called Paper Girls. It's really amazing. And from Image. Deadly Class, which is now a sci-fi show, which is freaking me out. I haven't watched it yet because I love the book so much. I'm a little scared to watch it.
Speaking of sci-fi, produced a show called Krypton. I haven't watched that either. Okay. The book is pretty good, but I haven't read the show. So.
Okay.
So yeah, there's actually tons and tons of
Well, and you know what? It gives me high hopes. Like, Crystal was a little jealous about Umbrella Academy, and so like, why is he getting this show? And I'm like, you never know. We might have China Moreau, Adventures of China Moreau, or on Netflix in 2 years from now, or who knows?
Yeah,
I mean, I know a couple producers and stuff, and they're talking about how all these channels are scrambling for content. So you never know.
Yeah, and comic book content is huge right now.
Well, it's
been huge for like 15 years now.
Yeah, well, it's a great source. I think these last couple of years have proved that.
Even with shows, not to catch you up, but even with shows like iZombie,
that one shocked me. I was like, wow.
Yeah, which actually it did really good.
Yeah, well, they did like what, 3 or 4 seasons.
Yeah. I mean, you got, speaking of, you know, since we're on the CW really quick, but I feel that, because we were talking before we did this podcast, that Greg could possibly be the person to link the two together. So if you're listening to this, Greg, please pay attention. Like, wait, so basically, with the New 52, he could create a New 52 universe cinematically and on TV and link the two. Basically, instead of using the Flash to do it, just use the Booster Gold movie to do it.
Yeah, and which is, that character is more natural to explore multiverse and timelines and all that.
Right, right.
And I like the idea one of us were saying, like, they should do that, and they should use the same actor, the same outfit, everything.
Right.
In movie and TV, and like just cross them over.
Right, because for one,
people would geek the fuck out. They would
definitely, because I feel like.
It'd be great to tie it all together.
Yeah, he could link them together, too, because, one, him being in the future and everything, there's already, the door's already opened with Legends of Tomorrow and Rip Hunter and all that, because technically Booster being Rip's son and all that, you know what I mean?
Well, and I think one thing that sort of holds certain people back of, like, getting into certain shows or movies is they're like, well, I like this version of the Flash, and then, so then the movie one doesn't count because he's different. And,
yeah.
This is a way to tie it all together and say it all counts.
Right.
It all matters.
Right. And it's like, and then to be honest, I feel like
there's a different sort of importance to all of it.
Yeah.
You have that opportunity and it'd be really easy to do.
Right. And then it's kind of like how I think DC could do is instead of taking the huge chance on like the minor characters for big films, you know what I'm saying? Is slowly integrate those smaller characters to big film. You know what I mean? So it's like, you got the Flash, it's been out going on with like almost 6 seasons or whatever, and just integrate that and say, okay, like, hey, we're not going to take the full cast of everybody from Flash or whatever. We're going to take select people and throw you guys into a 15-minute cameo or something in a movie or whatever. And then, and see how, you know, just see how, I guess how it would play, because you got some people like Steve Amell or whatever who's gone from doing big time movies and, you know, TV and stuff or whatever. And then you have, Candace Patton? I think she's done TV and movies before from Flash.
Well, yeah, you're getting a lot of that crossover going on now, and I think it really works.
So. Yeah. And then speaking of that, too, with CW doing their crossover shows, those seem to pay off more than anything I think the DC does.
Well, I think people just were been wanting something like that forever, and like this did it. Was sort of like out of nowhere, it started happening. And,
right.
And I was flipping channels one day, and it was like there was Mr. Terrific, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, and see, and I think that that's what's held CW shows alive a lot too, is the fact that like Arrow started off as, like you were saying, like those kind of crime drama.
Yeah, it was kind of shows, not very comic book like at all.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You know, and then it turns. I think adding those little characters in there, like Mr. Terrific, or adding in there Black Canary and Speedy and all them, I think that opens the show to like, oh, okay, cool. These characters are here, and it feels more like the comic book now.
Yeah.
Like with Flash, I think having the fact of you having Vibe and Killer Frost and all these extra characters and then extra villains on top of that or whatever, I think helps the show carry along. Because I feel like Flash would have fell off like season 3 after the villain was the Speedster again.
Right.
You know? Right. So like,
that happens in the comic too, where you're like, okay, how many more Speedsters are there?
Yeah, right.
Like, you gotta come up with something else. Like,
right.
And luckily, though, Flash, they, you know, back in the 60s, they came up with these great Rogues Gallery. and having them call themselves the Rogues and all that, like, and it's been great. Was it? It's one of the things you got to have. You got to have interesting ones.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I think, too, you know, Legends of Tomorrow is just the doorway for characters, period. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because
they can introduce any character. They take characters from other shows. And
right. And, like, through Legends, you've actually seen the Stargirl that's going to play Stargirl in the DC show.
That's really
cool. Or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and then you've actually seen the Constantine, which is the Constantine in the show that's supposed to be in the Swamp Thing show or whatever.
Oh, okay.
He'll make an appearance or whatever.
That's cool.
In it. And so it's like, if DC could figure out the way to cross their app shows with CW and their movies, DC would really be in for the win.
Yeah, and they gotta stop overthinking it. I think it's really all it is.
They gotta stop changing stuff up so much.
Right. Absolutely. But speaking of changing things up, what do you think Marvel's gonna do after Endgame? So all these actors, they're getting older. Like, Downey Jr., what is he like?
Well, the regen CGI, I guess that's the word. You could do that to some aspect,
that's a lot of extra money. So why not just recast them, like reboot and recast, or with the Infinity Gauntlet, right?
Yeah.
They've got an opportunity to reboot in the story
to do their own kind of paradox.
Just say, after they beat him, if they do. Suddenly everything's a little bit different. Suddenly Cap is a younger, played by a younger actor.
Now, I can see that.
Or do you think they will kill off some characters and then go the legacy route and have, like, you know, Bucky becomes Cap?
I think they're going to go the legacy route.
I think they might, too.
But I think that personally, too, though, if they were to do the whole, like, everybody's younger kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
it would work because you could ultimately do, like, a younger Avengers kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they kind of opened the door for that just a little bit with Tony and Pepper being pregnant and everything.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, she's not going to be, she says she's hanging it up, she's not going to be any more movies.
Well, yeah, that's true. So, well, I mean, it could be a thing where she has the baby and then, because, you know, what is it, in Young Avengers, actually,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, for the retelling, I think the last one that they had, baby Tony Stark never knew who his dad was, just like Tony didn't know who his dad was.
Right, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they could go that route and everything, but then I feel like it'd be a little bit too much because you have Thor who's leaving, but they've introduced Valkyrie. You know what I mean?
True.
So Valkyrie was part of the Young Avengers. And then you have...
It just becomes a thing of like, okay, well, how much can the audience take and get behind and understand? And so far, they're about like 100 with like all these concepts that people don't... Like, I didn't know anybody who saw Infinity War and didn't understand it. Even people that don't read comics, they understood.
Yeah.
You know, and that's some pretty interesting concepts in it.
I think mainly too that a lot of people got that one because that was the first time for a Marvel movie that one, the character didn't die, and then that the actual villain actually beat him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I still count Ultron winning or whatever.
Sure.
I still kind of count him winning even though he's
sure.
Like, I can say on paper he lost,
right?
But I count him winning because if he didn't do what he did, it wouldn't have set up for everything else.
Well, the damage he did to the Avengers was
far,
like, went through the next six movies.
Right,
Then to the next Avengers movie.
So, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely can see
I'm eager to see where they're going to go and, like, what they're going to do, mainly with the original three characters and, like, what's going to happen. Are we going to retire them? Are we going to kill them?
Well, I definitely think they're going to retire them, probably, and I feel like They're gonna take the newer route because I feel like Marvel's come to a point to where they're like, okay, cool. Well, we've appeased all the original comic fans with the original costumes, the original concepts.
Yeah,
and I feel like they're gonna go into like a whole new future kind of thing and
But what I would love, and I don't think they would do it, I would love to see them have Bucky be Cap,
have
as long as it's not
Thor. Have Jane become Thor, like that run of Thor was an amazing run. They won't do it though, and then I guess the next obvious choice is Riri Williams to replace Iron Man, but they're not gonna go. They're not gonna go.
Oh, no.
I mean, this is a character that is getting a lot of hate, but I love it. I love it. She's a great character. So that's just, you know, Iron Man is the big question of like who would they replace him with? Like what would they?
To be honest, I mean,
because I don't know. Would they go War Machine route? Would they go that? I don't know.
I don't think they would go War Machine route. I don't think so. But I think if anything with Iron Man, they're just gonna. There'll be like,
I don't know,
the remembrances of the character, but I feel like they're just gonna leave the character on a high note, kind of thing.
I don't know though, because like if they could get Don Cheadle to sign off on doing War Machine movies and to commit to it, he's an amazing actor.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, could you imagine though if he was suddenly starring instead of just sort of being this almost cameo role?
Yeah,
because
like, I mean he is a leading man person.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. But he hasn't been treated away in his movies, so yeah. Maybe that would be the route to go. I don't know.
Yeah, because really, it's
what I would love, actually, I just thought of this, is like, you know, originally the character took Tony's place as Iron Man. He was a War Machine. So what if they did that? What if he became Iron Man and people just thought he was the same Iron Man? Yeah. But we knew
right. That
it's really Rhodey. You know, like, that would be really interesting.
That would be, yeah.
I don't know.
I think the biggest issue Marvel's going to have with Iron Man character is finding somebody to play off of Iron Man. Because you're using Captain America right now to play off of him. So if that doesn't end up playing off right, because Chris Evans, his part's coming up to an end too. So, you know what I mean?
No, I think it will. I think, like I said, you know, actors look younger than they are nowadays because they stay in shape and they, you know, whatever. It's different though to like be Chris Evans' age and want to keep doing action movies in the suit and all that stuff.
Right.
Like, I think he's probably ready to transition to a different phase of his life. Just things I've read, so I think that's where he's wanting to go.
Right. I mean,
Who knows what they're gonna do? But I mean, that was the problem when they had Rhodey become Iron Man. Like he didn't have. Like, so he was the sidekick, basically, in the books.
Right.
And then suddenly there was no, like, he didn't have anybody to play off in the books.
Right.
And I think that's why it actually didn't work in the books. So they would need to come up with a character for him to play off of, I think. But I don't know who that would be, because Pepper's, she's out.
Right.
I mean, red,
so. And really, like I said, if what could possibly happen with how we were talking about earlier with the Netflix characters coming in, they did make the little cameos here and there, it could create a thing to where, you know, I think you could create a Civil War 2 if you were to add those Netflix characters, because then you could have it to where it's like Captain America doesn't necessarily die, but he's gone, he's disappeared,
retired,
you know what I'm saying, retired or whatever, and you go into like the Civil War 2 / like Alex Ross X, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Planet X kind of thing.
You think they will start focusing on characters like Hawkeye and Black Widow in movies?
I think more so Black Widow.
And will they try Hulk movies again? Like where it's just him? You know?
Well, what I would like to see, because you have Ross do so much talking and extra shit in these last few movies, I just want to see him finally turn into Red Hulk. Like, I just would want to see that so
cool.
Bad.
That could be really cool. It's yeah.
Yeah.
I'd want to see that in a Hulk movie, though.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But
shit, I want to see She-Hulk.
I want to see a damn Spider-Man and Daredevil team up.
That'd be cool.
That would be amazing. All against Kingpin.
I want to see Nova though too. I want to see not just Rich Ryder. I want to see Sam. I like the kid. I like him. I would like to see that, but I don't know if they're going to go that route or not. You know? What's going to happen with Guardians of the Galaxy too? Like,
because Chris Pratt, I think this is his last movie coming out too for Endgame.
Well, I think they've been very clear they're wrapping it up anyways with just all this, this group of characters. Like,
yeah.
So whatever happens next, if there is a next. And I think it might just be time to move on to the next batch of characters.
Defenders.
Yeah.
Do Defenders movies, but not necessarily the Netflix Defenders. Maybe do Defenders like old
big
school
scale. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
do something weird like that. I don't know.
I think
they have so much they could do. Like so many characters, they can go. They could do No Warriors. They could do.
Or to be honest, too, you could. What they could do is take a Scarlet Witch or whatever, and then White Vision. You know what I'm saying? Or the Gray Vision.
Do that
or whatever.
Whole storyline.
And we'll do that whole storyline, but just do a whole Avengers West Coast.
That could be interesting.
Yeah. Because if they did like a whole Avengers West Coast and then make it to where you've got like the cosmic universe is its own thing. Because, you know, Marvel did bring back Fantastic Four.
Sure.
So, really, I feel like Endgame should be a movie full of cameos.
Oh, I do. I feel like
that's what it should be.
I think it should introduce or reintroduce the Fantastic Four to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Because I feel like with the snap back, that should be like, oh, well, these characters just got brought back too, or whatever.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I think that would be great. And I think they could introduce a shitload of characters we haven't seen yet that you just see them for a few seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that would be amazing. Like, I mean, it's one of my highlights of the Justice League movie, just some of the weird little tiny cameos you
get. Right. Because I feel like they
need to do more of that. They need to, but by the way, real quick, though, the West Coast Avengers thing, as soon as you were talking about that, I was thinking, that should be a show.
Yes!
That would be great as a show.
Right, because I said to myself the other day, I was like, man, if they were to take Scarlet Witch and to actually give her, like, the costume and all that kind of stuff, that would work perfect as, like, I would watch that probably as an hour Netflix show with Vision and the guy who plays Vision as that person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, the show revolved around them, too, but the Vision, you know, the whole Avengers West Coast kind of thing or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Could be really cool.
Yeah.
Just like someone posted a fake movie poster of Hawkeye Squared, where it's Hawkeye from the Avengers movie and the female Hawkeye as a show based on the comic they had together. And I was like, I would watch the shit out of that. Like, do it. Like, seriously. And use Hawkeye that we all know from the movies. And I can't remember who they cast as her, but it was perfect, whoever it was. It had been Elijah Dushku, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, it just looked great. I'm like, just do it.
Just do it.
Just give us 10 episodes. I don't, you know, like, they're going to kill anybody.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
just do it. You're not giving this guy enough to do in this movie. So just give him a show so he can, the guy can act. I mean, let's give him some more to do. We can talk all day about these movies, man. Well, we live in a great time, what I will say. Like, just the fact that Marvel has pulled off. They went from being the company that could not make a good movie to they had some baby steps with the Blade movies were really cool.
Yeah.
Then we had the weirdness of the X-Men movies that worked. So it was successful, but like I wasn't happy with them. And then they finally give us this shared universe thing that has now been, what, like 15, 20 movies?
Yeah.
All of them successful.
Yeah.
It's insane. And it's been, this is great. And
Awesome, and I always think about it, I was like, man, what if DC could have did this back in the 80s?
True.
Like, if DC could have started...
Because they had a head start. Like,
yeah.
What if they had done it with
Superman and Batman? Yeah.
Like, what if they had thought with someone... See, back then, you would always hear, oh, you can't do that, audiences won't buy it. You can't have two superheroes together.
Right.
Oh, and you can't have too many costumes. Like, people won't buy it. And, like, I remember always hearing, you can't do a team. It'll never work. No one ever, they will never believe it. And I remember when Avengers first, right before it came out, there were a lot of people online.
It was like, oh, it's not going to,
it's going to bomb.
It's one of those things.
And then when it didn't, then the next one was Guardians of the Galaxy. It's clearly going to bomb. No one knows who these characters are.
Right.
It's too weird. It's goofy. It's going to bomb.
Yeah.
And then, these predictions don't really.
Right. And it's like people thought Thor was going to bomb because it's like, oh, this is some magic world and all this and that.
Yeah, I thought there's no way people. I remember thinking there's no way.
Yeah,
people are gonna buy this. People that don't, not us. But
right. I'm, now know, me, when I'm one of those people. I was one of those people. I'm not even gonna.
I thought Thor was gonna be the first bomb in the series.
I really thought Black Panther was gonna be the first bomb.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. Nah. Because that was the one movie I was like, one, too many people are hyping this movie up, but in real actuality, no one gives a shit.
You gotta be worried about that.
So, I mean, that was the biggest thing, because Black Panther is one of those characters, like, he's iconic, definitely, in, like, the black community and everything like that. Like, the only other black superhero I would say that would rival him as far as that goes would have to be probably Black Lightning. And next to that, I would probably have to go with Spawn, probably. So
I don't agree with Spawn.
The reason I say that, because, like, Spawn is he's an identifiable black character. You know what I'm saying? Sure.
But my thing with Black Panther, why I just knew from the get-go that, one, they should make a movie, and two, it'll have mass appeal, is just this, like, when Kirby, when they created this character, they didn't just put a guy in a black suit and whatever. They created all the stuff with Wakanda and everything. Like, there's so much to it.
Right,
so much details and so much lore, and, like, it's just well done, and all they had to do was just follow what has been laid out for them, and they did, and they updated it and made it all work. And that's the
only reason why I felt like it was going to bomb, because I felt like they weren't going to be able to show the full expansion of what Wakanda is, but not necessarily what Wakanda is, but there's Wakanda is like, it's like its own world, for one. Yeah, and then it's like Black Panther, he's one of those characters that, like, when you really break him down in the Marvel Universe, he's like a really fucking powerful ass character. Oh, yeah. Like, not too many people can stop him. You know what I'm saying? And so that's one of those kind of things where it's like, I felt like they was like, either they're gonna be like, he's gonna be super underpowered, or they're gonna just give it to him, he's like super overpowered,
sure,
kind of thing. But yeah. I think where Marvel did find the perfect balance was emotional with him, basically. Because it was like, it's kind of, you have this character
really
like
that. I think that's one of,
yeah,
it's one of the pieces to their formula.
Oh yeah, because
you gotta find the emotional thing for the movie,
right? Because every Marvel movie
humor. Yeah, and what I love about the humor they do is, it's not just everybody doing humorous or saying humorous things. It's you get one or two characters that they react to the drama and the weirdness or whatever,
right?
With comedy,
right?
And that's great, because that's how people are. Some people in a disaster are going to be making jokes to cope, and other people are gonna be freaked the fuck out.
Right.
And you gotta have all of it. Like, you're,
right. And I feel
like I've got a character coming up in my book that she's gonna be recruited into the Power Angels, and she's really powerful. But, you know, these characters are all teenagers, and she goes on her first couple of missions, and the after the mission, she's just all shook, and they're like, "What's wrong with you?" She's like, "What is wrong with you people? Like, this is not normal. Like, to live like this, like, to go through this on a daily basis, this is not normal." And, like, she, and I'm not going to tell you what happens, but, and that's just the way, it would in reality, it would be. Yeah. You would have more characters like that couldn't handle it. You know, that kind of stress, you know, like, it's just, I'm going off topic here. But they've done a great job. We do definitely, I love that this era. It's just, it's great. Like, even if it starts to fall apart, like if Captain Marvel fails, and then they start cutting back on movies, we still have this, like, 20 movies.
Oh, yeah.
In a row that are all linked together that are great. And it's like, just rewatch them, man. Just enjoy them and rewatch them. And go from there. I'm looking forward to Shazam and Captain Marvel and Aquaman 2. And I don't know exactly what's coming after those, but. Endgame, clearly. Wait, I cannot wait to see that. Like,
I'm pretty psyched too about the DC Marvel or the DC shows.
Yeah,
they have them. Yeah, Doom Patrol seems to be pretty good. Titans was really good.
So I heard. I said, I'm waiting till I want at least Doom Patrol to be finished.
Yeah,
and then I'm gonna get it and I'm gonna binge on it. Yeah, just care for there, you know, because I'm not down with this thing of, like, I'm gonna have to pay $8 a month for every channel I want to see.
Yeah,
that's a bunch of horseshit. So. I'm not, you know, if you got the money to do it, go do it. Like, I'm not playing it. I'm not doing it. So, but I'll give you $8 as a flat thing 1 month, and I'll watch all my shit, and then I'll cancel. It's that simple. You know, maybe DC can figure out another way to do it. Because, you know? I mean, some of my favorite books, Titans and Doom Patrol.
and then we're going to get Swamp Thing. And, you know, there's just all this crazy shit they're doing. Stargirls, I love her. And so I want to see these things, but, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to live in an era where we have to pay for every single fucking channel.
Right. Right.
And that's where we're headed.
Right.
So I'm very torn on all that. So
yeah,
I think we're in a weird era, though, for the day. Where it's all brand new, and they're trying to see what they can get away with.
Right.
They're trying to see.
Because I think a couple of channels like HBO and Showtime, they've had their success with their single shows, yeah, whatever. But the thing about it, I feel like for DC, is working because they're producing mm-hmm. their own actual shows.
Sure.
Or whatever. Sure. Whereas I think if Marvel does it, they will have to... They're going to have to really show you some extra shit, because they're like, they've already been producing shows, so it's like, you're really gonna have to give some free ass good stuff for me to be paying you $8. You know what I'm saying?
True,
like,
yeah. So, like, you don't think they should do something like, they should fucking do like a New Mutant show set in the 80s, the original New Mutants, and have them look like they looked in those books, and just, because I can see it. Like, I can see it. Like, now I've seen Umbrella Academy, the way they've done it visually, you could do a New Mutant show. Yeah. It would be fucking killer. And just have cameos of some of the X-Men right. here and there. But stuff like that would just be... I think it would be... They can knock it out of the ballpark. It would just be amazing. Like, I don't think they should be doing New Mutant movies necessarily. But I think those characters are perfect as a TV show. Because the whole thing is teen drama, the school aspect, all that shit. That's better for a ongoing storytelling format than
a movie.
Big epic movie.
Right.
Every 4 years. Or
right. It's like, now I just have an angry Archie movie with kids with powers.
Right. Which is why it's been delayed now. Right. Like, you know, it's been, you know, but the idea of doing, like, look at Stranger Things, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, the whole, that 80s era vibe.
That's, which is like, also a Dark Horse thing.
Yeah, let's do it. Like, go check the shit. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I wish I was one of these executive producers or something doing these movies or whatever. But
maybe we should start our own producing channel.
Seriously.
So
anybody listening to Memphis Eric, you got the money, we've got the talent.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Seriously. I've got characters just coming at my ass. Like, just ready for, like, you know, we could do shows about characters that I've not introduced
yet
that deserve a lot. Like, seriously, like, it's just the way it is. I create characters and I don't have time to do it, but we can do shows with them. That'd be great.
Cool. Well, definitely appreciate you, like I said, coming on the podcast and been fun. Definitely going to come back and do some more of these
things. Absolutely.
So, and like I said, everybody, before, if you want to become a patron to the show, you can always do that. You can donate to the show. You can donate to us at Cash App at $ Two Baked Studios, number Two Baked Studios. All right? And you can always find Matt Bowers at the great places like Facebook, Instagram,
absolutely,
and Comixology, and where else?
And if you ever want commissions of your favorite characters done by me or my characters done by me, just send me a private message. I do a lot of that stuff and have a lot of fun with it.
Definitely. And then, like I said, too, if you're looking for the best premium hemp products that you can get for your everyday illnesses, so you can be energized and or need something for your aches and pains, definitely look up Jade's Evolution, because they got all the premium hemp products that you need, and you can find them.
You're suffering from Tourette's, so you want to help calm that down?
Yeah.
I've learned that from experience with my stepson. It can help.
Damn. And there you got it. You can find them in Memphis, Tennessee. You can look them up at jadedhemp.com or give a call at 615-618-5570. And that is what we call the show.
Bye.
The beat is a war zone. My girlfriend's girlfriend say I'm a cat.